So in our last class, we left off in, we're at the very end of lesson three. So if, does anybody need lesson three? Are we all, we're all good? Okay. We're at the very end of lesson three. And anybody need lesson four? Okay.
Well, let me double check.
Yeah, you don't. I don't think you have it. You got the last one, and he. All right. So we left off in our last class in Ephesians. We were just finishing up there, but we had looked at some besides Ephesians. We had looked at some other verses. We looked at Acts 8:4. We looked at 2 Timothy 2:2, and Matthew 28. Around verses 19 through 20. What do these verses have in common? What were they talking about? One thing that they had in common. And that might be kind of a vague question, but teaching. Okay, so... Okay, so we saw the idea of teaching. And now these... different verses were, or different types of examples, if you will. And what I mean by that is that these examples or were examples of different relationships or different situations. But even though these were different situations, they had something in common too. Besides just the teaching itself, did we see something else happening there? And it's in connection with the teaching.
Each other's to teach.
Okay, so with that cycle, we see that cycle going over. So they would grow. We saw the example of them teaching. It's for the idea of the ones that are being taught to grow and to become the teacher. So we have a cycle going there.
Also the parent-child relationship. When you teach the child, and when they teach it.
Yeah, so we see that in the parent-child relationship. Yes, ma'am, we do. So we see it in a couple of different relationships. We'll see that same kind of idea. So it's we see the importance of that. Why is knowing and understanding this important? As far as we see these examples of these others teaching, and not only teaching, they're teaching to a point where these that they're teaching are to grow and become teachers. Why is that important for us to know?
Part of our salvation, part of our service to God.
Okay, part of what we should be doing. Okay.
And they're lost without it. All sin. So they're in sin and they're lost.
Right.
If they don't learn and understand.
Right. And that the we might be the only person in contact. Well, not only person, but you know what I mean. Our influence on them might be the influence that God was going to use. So... we've got to think about that in terms of the way we do things, the way that we started off this class looking at this idea of evangelism. We know it's to teach those so they can come to the understanding of truth, but we also see the idea of ism, so what this should mean to us.
And that's what Jesus told the disciples to do. And if we're to be disciples of Christ, then that's what we're supposed to do as well.
Right. Right. So we continue to have this cycle. And it's also going to be out of our attitude towards this. We should want to serve. We should want to be a part of that and to be used. Because we have examples of, God can use us either for good or for bad. So we want to be something that's useful to Him. We want to be a tool, if you will, something that could be used to help other people.
Kind of like a minister doctor situation. You know, a person has cancer. They don't know they have cancer. They're bad of it. They don't know. They don't realize it. The doctor comes and helps them see, understand, know they have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, they were kind of like that. They were kind of like, you have a responsibility as a doctor.
Right. We have a responsibility to help them to understand their need for the great physician. Huh? So that's true, because they're entrapped in sin, and there's all different manners of it. I mean, that's really what it is. It can be from ignorance or whatever. And sometimes, I mean, I'm sure there are some that are using, that know better and are just, you know, out for gain. But a lot of the times, these people that are lost, it's because they just don't know. They've been either taught incorrectly or just not taught at all. So that's where we can be useful to them. But you know, what we have to use is this. Because if they are taught already, then just someone speaking to them has already been used. So you're going to have to show them that it's more than just what you're saying. You know, you're going to have to show them where this is coming from. Right. Right, they think they're okay. Yeah, that's the danger of it, because they think they're in many think they're in a safe situation. So that's very dangerous, and the devil loves that. So we left off in Ephesians 6 this idea of training our children. You know, and we talked about what are we trying to accomplish. You know, as parents, we train our children to take on certain characteristics or to think in a certain way, and so that they might act and behave a certain way. And, you know, that's to kind of mold their walk or their action of the way that they live. And, you know, we teach them these things not just to know of them, but to actually act in them, to do them. But, you know, this isn't just in regular everyday things. We should be doing this, and most importantly, in spiritual things. You know, teaching them things spiritually that will help them in their daily walk. And, you know, in Ephesians, when we talked about the fathers or the parent-child relationship, this idea of teaching our children, we're molding them to something that hopefully one day they're going to make their own, you know, so that they can obey. And, you know, this, I always think of this idea of obey because of the way we use it sometimes. Obey, a lot of the times we mean, have they put on Christ? Have they, you know, are they baptized believers? Which is correct. But that's not where it ends. Obey is also what we need to be doing daily. It's part of our life, you know, the way that we're supposed to be living according to God's will.
Great, so, I think it's also important that they, as you're teaching your children, they understand that of course, growing up and being small and different things, that it's the parents that are, it's the parents' faith that they're kind of working off of.
Yeah.
So at some point they have to know enough and learn enough that they understand that it's their faith.
Right.
It's their relationship with God and not a relationship through their parents with God that saves them. That's not what it is. It's their faith and their belief.
That's a good point, because if we don't teach them in that way and don't really ground them in that understanding, then once they're away from the parent, then where are they at? So yeah, they've got to make it their own. That's a good point, Jeff. Definitely got to make it their own.
I think it's more that we prepare hearts. Remember the parable of the sower,
mm-hmm.
where the hearts are. We prepare hearts by giving them not only an example, but by word, to have a respect and fear of God and authority and the word of God. They may not learn this, and this, but if they learn and see respect and reverence towards God and His authority, not only by what you say, but what you do, then, which leads into 1 Peter 3,
mm-hmm.
15 and 16, they then, as they get older and they are able to learn more and more, that when it comes time and they hear the gospel again, you know, or that their own heart then will have that reverence and that fear towards God, that they will want to obey it, you know, mm-hmm. For themselves. But, you know, to prepare their hearts.
So things will kind of click for them, too. I mean, they'll mm-hmm. kind of have a better understanding of things. And I think that not just for our children, but in the way our example to anybody, mm-hmm. you know, really that's when they see that in us, that's why it's important. We know we're not perfect. And yet we should strive to be. We should always strive to do what's right. But we've got to understand when the world looks in on us, they almost have the idea that we should be perfect because of the things that we claim or the things that we believe in. So they almost have that idea about us. So if that's true and they see us do something wrong, what does that do for our doorway or being able to speak to them? Yeah, it's not... You're probably not going to be as effective. So that's one thing we need to keep in mind. Yes, sir.
That's a big misconception, too, because I talked to a co-worker who told me, you know, I can't be a Christian because, you know, I got so much sin, so many bad things in my life. And I explained to them, that's the point why Christ died. Christ did not die to bring in perfect people.
Right.
He died for sinners, the sick people, the people sick in sin. So that's also a big misconception that you know, you only become a Christian if you're a goody-two-shoe.
Yes.
You do nothing but good works all your life, but that's a big misconception they have.
Problem is, we can't do good works all our life. We need
Christ's forgiveness.
Well, that's true. But the thing is, because we even have examples, and that's where we go to a lot of the times, maybe they don't understand, well, they just don't know some of the examples in the Bible. We have David, we have Paul, we have other examples of people that have done things probably what would be considered a lot worse than what most people have done. So, and we know that they were forgiven. Yes, sir.
A good example is Apostle Paul had to call down Cephas for his associating with the, you know, the sort of baptism of the Gentiles and Jews. Remember? Example. I mean, even an Apostle Christ.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Okay, so just to recap these verses, and then we'll go to lesson 4. Who was teaching in... Well, we know who was teaching in these verses that we looked at. We had those that were scattered, that were preaching and teaching the word. We saw that. We saw in 2 Timothy this idea of Paul when he had taught Timothy. We also see that this was for Timothy to entrust these things to faithful men so they could teach also. But also in Timothy, we see where Timothy got his faith from his mother and his grandmother. So we see the importance of that example. And then in Ephesians, we see the same sort of example. Is this specifically their fathers, but we know that this is we can look at other verses and see the idea of parents teaching their children and teaching them in the way that they should go. So we see these different ideas or different situations, if you will, different aspects, but they all have this in common, that it's to teach somebody. It's to teach them, yes, to obey, to come to the knowledge and the truth, to be a baptized believer, but not only that, it's to teach them that this is to be part of their life, and they're to grow in this. And then they too should, in their growth, be able to teach others, and hopefully the cycle goes on, because that's how we see some of these things being spread, or the gospel being spread. Any other comments or thoughts before we go into lesson 4? No? Okay. So lesson 4, we've kind of mentioned some of this, and I know in our introduction we mentioned about two ways of teaching. Our example, and then teaching directly. So just think about that, especially in the things that we just looked at. Are we Christians? Are we parents? Are we neighbors? So what should we be doing? These are all examples. You know, we should be teaching. So I put on here, are we ready to give an account? We can turn over to 1 Peter 3. Sir?
Say all of them back to two principles. Love God, love our neighbor.
Okay. Yeah, two very important principles. Okay. So are we ready to give an account? Are we not only living a life that says that there's something different about us, are we ready to tell somebody or explain to them why we live the way that we do? And not only are we willing, and in order for us to be willing, usually, are we capable of doing this? Now remember, as we spoke of before, if you are a baptized believer, then you know, or at least at one point you did, you knew enough to come into that relationship. So if we know that, then we still know enough to speak to somebody and to help them. But we shouldn't stop at that. We need to grow. We want to be more comfortable speaking to other people, because remember, we're doing this not just to say, yeah, I spoke to them. We want to be effective. So we're trying to help others. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Somebody else?
Yeah. Also, I think sometimes back to the, are we willing to be able, you know, making several examples of that. Another one is, are we willing to and prepared to explain the sacrifices that we make in order to become a Christian and live like He wants us to live. Like we talked earlier, not everybody was raised in the church, and not everybody grew up this way. And some people left behind lifelong friends. Some people left behind a way of life that they didn't know was wrong.
Right.
And being willing, A, to leave that behind and make new friends and explain why you did that, I think is important as well, to be able to tell others about. Because there's some people who want to become Christians but don't want to leave that old life.
And right.
It's like straddling a fence, and you're going to get knocked over on the wrong side.
Yeah, that's a good point, because you've got to decide. So yeah, sometimes it's going to involve stuff that's it could involve stuff that's not easy, you know, because it's a change in lifestyle. And, you know, maybe these people aren't living, you know, there's different types of people we're going to be encountering. Some might be pretty moral already, you know, but then you're going to have some that might not be, and we should speak to all of them. And that is true. That's good. That's something they're going to have to understand, is because it has to do with the change. Because that change of heart is going to have to, you know, allow you to be able to make changes in your life. There's, like Don said, you might have to leave friends. You might have to, there's things that you might have to change in order to do that. Did you have your hand up? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You wanted to say something. No.
Well, friends is one thing, but then relatives, that's another aspect of that. That's, you know, it's going in the heart, more in the heart than friends. You know, friends are great. You know, it's part of going more in the heart. Relatives.
And we're going to get into, that's a good point. We'll get into that in probably our next class. Yeah, because there's going to be difficulties. Because there's always, you know, excuse, if you will, or something that, I mean, maybe it really does pull at them, but then we've got to explain to them that, you know, grandma is between God and grandma, because we each individually have to answer for our own. So we will get into that in, I think, probably our next class. But when I say, are we capable, capable of teaching, I'm not saying that to give anybody an excuse or an out, because, like I said, if we know enough to have been saved, then we know enough. Because I know sometimes we do think, well, I can't teach anybody, you know. Either I'm not comfortable talking around other people, or I just don't do enough, or not, I take that back, not do enough, I don't know enough. Okay, let's say those are facts. Are these something we could do something about, maybe? If you don't know enough, then maybe you need to study a little more. We can't use all that as excuses. Yes, we have different capabilities. We're not all the same when it comes to that. Some people are going to just be better at certain things. They're going to be better than we are. But that doesn't give us an excuse not to come to our capability. You know, we still need to read and try to grow, because we all are supposed to be growing. So we can't use that as an excuse. We don't feel comfortable talking to other people. Okay, men, which I don't think there's really any in here, because we all do it. But do you take opportunities when they ask you to do a Wednesday close, or when they ask you to do something up in the front? You get more comfortable, maybe, talking to people. But you see the idea there. These are all things that can help us. So we really don't have excuses. So we just something for us to consider. And in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." So what does this mean, to sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart? That's a question. Okay. So he's to rule our heart. You know, we're to show that he's set apart, and that he is to rule our heart.
One of the definitions I found is talking about what Pat talked about before, devotion to.
Mm-hmm.
To be devoted to sacred use. To set your heart to be devoted to sacred use. because he is Lord. Mm-hmm. It's because of who he is.
Right.
And so it's, he's Lord, but what does that mean? You know, it's who he is. And
so his worthiness.
So we should serve him because of who he is and because of what he's done for us.
Yes, ma'am.
And so it's devotion to being used by the Master.
Okay.
And him ruling your life.
Right. Him ruling our life is definitely what we need to be showing. So what will show this? I mean, what will show that he rules our life and that he's, you know, we put him first? Okay, our actions. The way we live, our willingness to do what this verse was saying, to give an account. Or ready to make an offense. Now, in this section, how are we to do this? How does it say we are to do this a certain way?
Gentleness and reverence.
Okay. Gentleness and reverence. We're to make an offense with gentleness and reverence. Now, your footnote might say argument or explanation. So we're to be ready to make an argument or an explanation to why Christ is set apart in our hearts. But we're still to do this with a gentleness and reverence. Again, those that we're speaking to may not know anything about God or have a false understanding of God. We do see that whatever it means to make this argument or this explanation, it's governed by an attitude of gentleness and reverence. So I suggest that the gentleness it is speaking to is the how we speak to them, okay? Not the subject matter, okay? It's not saying that we should, oh, well, this is kind of harsh to teach, so we're going to teach something different. That's not the gentleness. We don't change the subject matter, but we might change, or we might, the way we approach it might be with gentleness. And I think that's why we also see this word reverence coupled with it. We'll see here in a minute the subject matter will not always be accepted with kindness, somewhat we were talking about. It will actually divide. And Jesus says, where we're going to look at, he says it should divide. Not because that's the outcome that he wants, necessarily, but the realization that will be the outcome sometimes when you allow him to be Lord of your heart. And when you do and don't do as he asks. Yes, ma'am.
It's interesting in the context here, because his context starts back up in 2:13, you know, about the slaves and the masters and the husbands and wives and all this. In verse 14, he tells them that even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you're blessed, and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. So what he's telling you in verse 15, this isn't just a friend you're sitting down talking with and meeting on the street. You live your life according to what God says, and then people, they're going to ask you, you'd be willing to give them an answer. Why do you take this? Why do you let your master treat you this way? Why do you submit to your husband when he's a scoundrel? And we give the right answer with gentleness and reverence, because this is what God expects me to do.
Okay.
And so it is talking to everybody, anybody we can, about God. But I believe sometimes in this context, what it's really aiming at is you're suffering. Therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, you yourselves also do the same. And so arm yourselves also for the same purpose. So we are going to suffer sometimes for being a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And that, what better time to do it in the right spirit, with gentleness and reverence, to give the answer and show that I'm living what I'm not just telling you, you can see my life and that's what
so
I'm
the
doing.
Actions in it. Yes, ma'am.
And it's keeping a good conscience. That means that you examine yourself and you know that you're doing what is right. All of Peter, all of 1 Peter is doing what's right in the face of suffering or, you know, hardship, that kind of thing. And in verse 13 of chapter 3, who is to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? Mm-hmm. And he talks about doing right, doing good. And what he's talking about is, even if we're going to take it over to teaching then, be zealous. You're zealous for doing what is right, even in the face if someone slanders you and, or, you know, reviles you or, you know, turns against you, mistreats you. That's the context, you know.
Okay.
And so it carries over to teaching the word because up above there, the wife warned the husband by her good behavior.
Right.
And so, you know, it's keeping a good conscience and with zeal towards doing what's right.
Yes,
so that's
ma'am.
Another attitude, you know, we need to be zealous about.
Okay. And we're going to see some more of these verses in, well, we might get to it in this, no, we won't get to it in this class. But we will have some more to say on some of those verses. Yes, sir.
I was going to say, even to the extent that, even to the extent, like I mentioned, that people slander you, that's a fear that a lot of times Christians have, is that
yes.
they'll be,
not be accepted.
Some kind of evil and not be accepted. Verse 8 and 9 talks about not returning evil for evil. That's some other danger we can fall into. And our example in the context is Christ, the just, who died for the unjust. And if we keep Christ in our thoughts and our minds as a keen example, as the master teacher, and what he did for us, then when we're approaching these things, our hearts won't turn bitter, and we'll still be focused on the goal to help bring others to Christ, and to show them the right way.
Good point. Yes, sir.
One thing I was reminded of when we were looking for there's a zealous reverence. Mark, I think of what so many times the devil has ways of blinding us to our own selves, making it so we don't understand what we're saying or how we're saying it, how we're coming over to other people. For example, a person might be talking to someone because they know scripture, they quote scripture and all this, you know, and they're dealing with somebody and they're able to show that person, you know, what they're talking about and everything. And then later, they're patting themselves on the back and they're talking about winning this argument kind of thing, you know. I mean, this is the...
Yeah, so the wrong, they have the wrong attitude of why they're...
Wrong attitude, see?
Yeah.
It should be, you should be happy and then not have that kind of attitude, you know,
yeah.
Gentleness, reverence toward what you're doing and sharing God's word. You know, it's not like that you're doing anything. You're just sowing the seed.
Yeah.
God giving
the increase.
So that person opens their eyes and sees the truth because of what you said. Because you said that God said it's because of God's word. It's not that whole look,
right.
Word.
Right, it's not us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rocky, did you have your hand up? Or
I was going to make a comment on verse 15 that when you look at that verse, you see a lot of effort and diligence that's required on my part to be ready. So, first of all, you have to always be ready. This can take a lot of preparation. You can always be ready, you know, all different situations, what they can ask you. You see that a lot of work's going to be required. And then you make a defense. Okay, so you got this opposition. You got to make a defense. Well, it can't be any flippant thing. It has to be something of substance, something unique that you can show them that, you know, people are wrong. And then it goes on to everyone. You know? And so I see a lot of effort and diligence required in this thing. And then you give an account. You know, account is a ledger. Well, you know, you need to, these points and these scriptures. And so I see from that version a lot on our part being ready. You know, to answer these questions and take a lot of our efforts to be able to, you know, to respond to this.
So we've got to be prepared, huh? Yeah.
Pen and paper. You carry it with you. If somebody has a question, you can't answer. Hey. Right now, make sure you back a little bit.
Because we sanctify Christ as Lord of our lives, it comes around to trust, just like the women up there who hoped in God and did right. It's because they trusted what he said. And so sometimes when we're in the throes of this, we just have to trust God that if we do right, you know, whatever the outcome, we'll be justified. And we have to have courage. You know, courage is not, that's in the face of opposition and doing what is right in spite of people.
Right.
And so, you know, it takes courage and it takes trust to do what we should do in the face of opposition.
And like I said, we don't know what the outcome necessarily going to be, and that shouldn't really matter in that extent. We should just be doing what we know is right. That's good, because we can, like we said, we plant or water, but God's going to give the increase. So, but I just want to make the point that this gentleness does not mean to give an approval or an acceptance to one of what they're doing if it's something that's wrong. Because I think sometimes we can, people fall into that, you know. That's not the kind of gentleness that we're talking about here. So we should have this reverence or fear for God. So we should be teaching the truth. We should be doing what is right, even in the face of opposition. And like we've already mentioned, I put a note here, but we pretty much already mentioned this idea that what we're doing is out of a dedication and a devotion to, because of the faith and trust in who Christ is. And like we've said, being ready to give an account is not just a willingness. We need to prepare ourselves so that we are capable and that we're able to do a good job. You know, it's really, it all boils down to what Christ means to us. This, what we trust in. You know, is it something that we just, you know, well, we just did this to be saved? You know, our attitude towards that salvation is very important. You know, what we do with what we've learned and what we know, and our willingness to share it with other people. So again, this goes back to our attitude. What are we willing to do? Are we willing to sacrifice time? Because, like Rocky said, you know, this preparation and this being ready, that's going to take some sacrifice of our time. Are we willing to sacrifice time from things of this world to prepare ourselves to live as we should and be more capable of helping others? And I hope so. Because this shows God and others our understanding and our willingness to serve Him. And our next point, we're about to get buzzed, so we'll pick up. Our next point will be, are we growing? We see there, are we growing? 2 Peter 3:18, Ephesians 4, Hebrews. So that's where we'll pick up on Wednesday. Then again, next Sunday, auditorium.